You doing good? Man, look at this room. Look around. Look how many people are here. This is awesome. Man, you guys are incredible and just so excited that you guys are in Grow Track. I just love this because healthy things grow. Amen? And that means, you know, we may not be perfect in this room. If you're perfect, you got to go. So raise your hand if you're perfect. You got to get out of here. But man, healthy things grow. And I just love the idea that this room is full of individuals and people, whether you've just come to know God recently, say in the last month, couple months, 6 months, I don't know, or you've known the Lord for many years, there's still a hunger to grow. There's a hunger to learn more about the Lord. And I am so thankful for a church that is so intentional about people growing. Aren't you guys? I mean, I just love it and love what God's doing here at Timber Creek Church. And we're so glad that you guys are here and a part of it. And I'm honored to be with you guys here tonight at Grow Track 1. I got to hang out with Grow Track 2 last week, Grow Track 3 the week before. And man, it's just so neat to see how many people are growing this semester, jumping into Grow Track. And have you guys enjoyed it so far? Awesome, awesome. Well, guys, let me pray for you real quick before we jump in to tonight's teaching. God, we love you. And God, I love seeing this room full of people that are just, they have a hunger to grow. God, they got a hunger to want to know you better. God, to live lives that model the life that you have designed for us. Is that perfect lives? No, God. You don't expect us to be perfect. God, but we want to live lives, God, that honor you, God. We want to draw closer to you. We want to grow in our relationship with you, God. And I'm so thankful for Grow Track 1 and the essential things that they're learning each and every week, God, that help them to know more about you, to know more about your word, to know more about how to live for you, God, and discover all that you have for us. And so, God, I pray that you would bless these guys. I know that probably some of them barely got here tonight, God. Maybe their day was just crazy at work. God, maybe it was just a huge ordeal to just get here and be here on time. But God, they're here, and I pray that they would just take a deep breath and relax and know that you're right here in the midst of this crowd, God, in this room, and you want to speak to all of us tonight as we look at who the Holy Spirit is, God, and how he's active in our lives. God, we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, awesome. Well, guys, tonight is week 4, and we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit 101. And I'm going to start off, and then Miss Taylor's going to kind of finish off the night. And so it's my first time I get to tag team with Taylor, and so I'm excited about that. Yeah. So we're going to jump right in. The Holy Spirit 101. Why does it say 101? Because there's a lot to cover. There's a lot of incredible things to learn about the Holy Spirit and what the Bible talks about with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The cool thing is in Grow Track 2 and in Grow Track 3, even in Encounter, if you've been a part of that or you're planning to be a part of that, you're going to learn more about the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives, right? But tonight, we're going to start off kind of with 101. Who is the Holy Spirit? And what is that all about, right? And for some of us, maybe this is the first time we've heard a teaching on this before. And so we just want to help you guys kind of have a little bit more knowledge of what God's Word tells us about the Holy Spirit and why he's important in our lives. And, you know, I just want to tell you, too, for all of us in the room, everybody just say relax. Can you say that? Relax, okay? Because as soon as I said the Holy Spirit, some of you probably thought, oh, geez, this was the night I was going to skip. I've heard some weird stuff about the Holy Spirit. And I just want you to relax, okay? We're not going to make you do anything here tonight. We're not going to get crazy up in here. We're going to talk about what the Word and the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit and why he is important in our lives, okay? Since we come from different backgrounds, I'm sure if we went around the room, a lot of us probably have no background, some of us, a different background that's different than Timber Creek Church. We all have different backgrounds, I'm sure, and each of us have different ideas, maybe experiences, that give unique perspectives on the Holy Spirit and his ministry. And some may view the work of the Holy Spirit with great excitement and anticipation, while others of you in this room may have some real reservations, okay? Some are expectant, while others are just plain wigged out and scared when we say the word, the Holy Spirit. When I just mention that, right, some things may roll through your mind that kind of scare you a little bit, or you just, there's some real misconceptions, misunderstandings there. In fact, you know, in Starting Point, raise your hand if you've been in Starting Point. Awesome, awesome. If you didn't raise your hand, you haven't been in Starting Point, I know Jeremy plugged it already, we'd love for you to jump in. Please jump in this Sunday, get into Starting Point, because that's where you dip your toe in the water here at Timber Creek Church, and you find out a lot about stuff. But on week one of Starting Point, the topic is knowing God. And we take time to talk about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I know last week you guys talked about the Trinity, correct? You've kind of talked about a little bit of this so far, but we put on a whiteboard, and we basically let the whole room just talk about what are some misconceptions that you or other people may have about God, about Jesus, and about the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, every month when we get to the Holy Spirit, it's some of the same things, right? And that's the one that people really do feel a little uneasy with sometimes and have some misconceptions. You may have heard him as the Holy Spirit. You may have heard him as the Holy Ghost. Anybody remember that, right? I grew up hearing that. In fact, can I share a funny story with you? I hope this is appropriate, Taylor. If not, I apologize, okay? But when I was a little kid, I grew up in church right down the road in Beaumont, Texas. And my parents had for a while, they had this big old brown van. And I remember back in the 1980s, I'm really old, but in the 1980s, there was no back seats in this thing. Anybody ride around in a van, family vehicle like that? No seats. And I remember driving home. We lived in Silsby. So Beaumont to Silsby, we were taking the drive home after church one night. And I don't know, I guess my Sunday school teacher, my Wednesday night teacher, whatever, must have talked about the Holy Spirit. And my parents were having a serious conversation. And all of a sudden, my mom said she looked back, and it was dark because it was at night, and she sees me raise up real slow, and I've got a sheet over me. And I said, "Look, Ma, it's the Holy Ghost." And I was doing that in the back of the van, right? And so even as a kid, I began to... But, you know, hear things about the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Ghost. But I didn't understand at that time, at that age in my life. But over the years, I began to learn and understand that the Holy Spirit is God, right? He's part of the Trinity, as you learned about last week. And here, I want to start off with this verse. It's in your notes. John chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "Nevertheless..." And this is Jesus speaking, okay? He's speaking to his disciples. And here's the interesting thing, guys. He's speaking this before he goes to the cross. This is before he died on the cross. This is not after, right? But he's kind of preparing these guys, telling them some of the most important things that they need to hear. And in verse 7 of chapter 16 in the book of John, he says, "Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit," right? Everybody say benefit, "that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you." So who is he talking about? Who's the counselor? The Holy Spirit, right? Now, I can only imagine that the disciples were feeling like, wait a second. What do you mean you're going to leave us, right? They've spent all this time with Jesus. They can't imagine life without being with Jesus, right? And some things are about to dramatically change. Jesus is going to go to the cross. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be beaten. He's going to die this horrible death, right? But 3 days later, he's risen from the grave. He's alive, and he's here for a little bit longer, and then what? He goes to heaven. He ascends to heaven. But that was all. He was preparing them for this, but it's for their benefit. And I'm sure that was difficult for them to wrap their minds around. But why do you guys think that? Why do you think it was a benefit that he go away? Why is that? Anybody want to share? It's okay. You can talk out loud. Yeah, exactly. Instead of walking physically with them, now he is within them, right? Which is truly what's going on, right? And he sent the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Why was it so important? Man, don't be quiet on me. Yeah, because he was fully God and fully man. He was physical, right? And so, but the Holy Spirit has the ability to minister to all of us, right? In all of us as believers, okay? So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, let's walk through your notes here. The Holy Spirit, number one, is the Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity. And just as I said, last week you guys talked about that. You talked about the Trinity. You learned about the Trinity, learned about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is equally divine as God and Jesus. And yet also individual. They're all three one, but yet separate, right? And check out this in some verses that speak to this. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right? 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, so he mentions all three, right? Scriptures do, right? Will be with you, be with all of you, right? The reason I'm showing you these scriptures is we want you to understand is that we see the Holy Spirit throughout all of Scripture, right? Right? He's God. He's part of the Trinity. Very important for us to see that he was all throughout Scripture. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity. Number two, he is a person, right? In fact, he's got emotions, right? He is a person. He has emotions. For example, we're told in the Scriptures, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So if he can grieve, he's got these emotions. He's a person, right? And so that's important for us to know. Isaiah 63:10, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, it says. Therefore, he turned himself to become their enemy. He fought against them. Another verse, Ephesians 4:30, do not bring sorrow. In other words, grieve. Don't grieve, right? Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. You see, here the Apostle Paul in this passage in Ephesians, he's cautioning Christians. He's cautioning you and me that when we are tempted to act like the world around us and talk like the world around us, we must not give in because it grieves the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he has emotions, right? And so once we come to know Jesus, once we accept God into our life, at that moment, the Holy Spirit begins to be active in our lives, right? And you're going to learn a little bit more later about what he does in our lives. Like, he comforts us, he convicts us, but he has emotions. And if we're not careful, that's why when we come to know God, that's why the reading of God's word and growing closer to him is so valuable and so important to begin growing like you guys are doing. That's why I'm so proud of you for being in Grow Track. But begin reading the Word of God. Begin spending time in prayer with him, because the closer you get to him, the more we're going to be like him. Are we going to be perfect? No. But we want to strive for Christ-like character in our life. We want to strive for Christ-like conviction. But if we just ask God to come into our life, which is the greatest decision we'll ever make, but we don't begin to strive to grow, and we just kind of talk like we used to talk, and act like we used to act, with sin still just willingly happening in our lives, then, man, it really truly grieves the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you guys? He has emotions. He has his own desires and will, the Holy Spirit. His own desires and will. What are some of the desires? Well, the Holy Spirit desires to fill you and I. At the moment of salvation, he's active and alive in our hearts and our lives. We can't see him. We can't touch him. We can't see him, but he is alive and working in our lives, right? You know, have you ever, when you came to know God and you begin to read the Bible and you used to do things that were sin and you feel tempted to do it again and you're kind of like, maybe I shouldn't do that, and you feel like there's a voice telling you not to do that, that I'm different now? Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit, right? He desires to be working and dwelling in our life and be active in our life, actively involved in our lives every single day. His will is to give you and I spiritual gifts, good gifts, right? He's a good father that wants to give good gifts to his children, gifts from our Heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to each as he wills. The gifts that are placed in the body of Christ, right? So each of you have different gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. Why? To be on display in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, the church itself. This building is wonderful. This building is great. But we are the church. We are the body of Christ. And God and the Holy Spirit wants to give each and every one of us specific gifts to be used for his glory, for his name, to benefit the body of Christ, to benefit the kingdom of God. Does that make sense to you guys? These gifts are placed in the body of Christ. That is us, the church. And the assignment of responsibilities in the body of Christ come through the marvelous working of the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit. Also, he is in relationship with us as well as in relationship with the Father and the Son. 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There's a relationship there. that we should want to know God through His Holy Spirit. We should want more of the Holy Spirit active in our life, right? Just like I met my wife and I want to get to know her better, right? And that doesn't end after our wedding day. I want to get to know her more and more and more. There's a living relationship there. And there's a relationship we can have with God through the Holy Spirit. And one misconception I think a lot of times when it comes to the Holy Spirit with God and with Jesus, with the Trinity, is He is not the little buddy. He's not the little buddy of the three, right? He is God, right? And He is alive and active in our lives. He is the third person of the Trinity. Number three, the Holy Spirit is eternal and holy, right? From the beginning of time, that's not just something new, right? We read back in Genesis where we see that the Holy Spirit is active in the Word of God, right? John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. Who is the advocate? The Holy Spirit, right? To help you and be with you forever. Way back in Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our own image, right? What does the word holy mean? Anybody? What's the word holy mean? It's what? Pure, set apart. That's what I was looking for right there, right? It's to be set apart. And the Holy Spirit, as we come to know God and we grow in our relationship with God, God calls us and the Holy Spirit helps us to be set apart. Hey, be like me. Don't be perfect, but strive to be like Christ, like God, the Holy Spirit. He is holy and He is good, okay? So what do we do with this? So what does He do in my life? When it comes to the Holy Spirit, what does He do in my life? The Holy Spirit, number one, comes into my heart the moment that I invite Him to do so. So at the moment of salvation, Holy Spirit's at work in our lives, right? We're a new creation, and the Holy Spirit is at work. Ephesians 1:13, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. What is a seal? Right, I looked this up, and it's the definition of it is a device or a substance that's used to join two things together, right? I love that part, right? To join two things together and to prevent them from coming apart. That's amazing to see that illustration of what a seal does. And when we come to know God, the Holy Spirit becomes active in our life. It's like a seal and a stamp there, right? And the Holy Spirit begins to help us, brings us closer to God, to Christ, and keeps us from being ripped apart, coming apart, right? John 14:17, He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive Him, for it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him, but you do, for He lives with you now and someday shall be in you. Okay, number two, what does the Holy Spirit do in my life? He teaches and reminds us of what we need to remember. If we're open to it, the Holy Spirit will teach us so much. How does He teach us? Anybody, how does He teach us, the Holy Spirit? Man, you guys are too big of a group to be so quiet. How does He teach us? Absolutely. The Word comes alive, and He teaches us through His Word. Through conviction, absolutely. How else does He teach us? Through listening, absolutely. Listening to messages, listening to other people that speak into our lives, that God uses to speak into our lives. He teaches us. So we have to have a heart, a mind to listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to do throughout the day. I challenge you tomorrow morning to wake up and spend time with the Lord and invite Him and say, God, I want to hear from the Holy Spirit today. Speak to me in any way that you can today, through a song in the car, through a conversation with my children, through a message I hear online, through your word, number one, you know, as reading the word of God. Speak to me through the Holy Spirit, through your word, God. He teaches us every single day. If we'll listen, if we'll take the time to listen to Him and spend time with Him, He also reminds us. I love that part, right? I can't tell you as a pastor, you know, but even not as a pastor, but I'll be in conversations with people, and I'll remember a verse. And there's other times when I want to remember a verse, and I'm like, I can't remember it. It's just gone. I can't think of it. But in that moment when it's so important, and I have the opportunity to encourage somebody or I'm telling somebody about Jesus Christ, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit reminds me of, right? And sometimes it's not just verses from the Bible. He reminds me of situations, encounters that I had, situations that as someone's sharing their heart with me, I can say, I went through that too, and God helps me remember through the Holy Spirit my response and how God helped me through that situation or how he helped someone else. That's the Holy Spirit, guys. And that's why it's so important to connect with him and God every single day. And to be, as you've probably heard, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit throughout the day, right? We live busy, busy lives. And the enemy wants to disconnect us from God in any way that he can. But don't be too busy to begin talking with God. Begin praying and reading his word. And stay sensitive to what the Lord wants to say to you, even through tough stuff, right? Even through the knucklehead at work, right? Even the guy or girl that just drives you crazy at work. Anybody have that? Okay, hopefully they're not sitting next to you, so don't raise your hand. But you know what I'm talking about. Even those tough situations that you look back and you think, man, God, you were really trying to teach me something. God, keep my heart pure. Keep me, you know, sensitive to your Holy Spirit as you speak to me through even some tough situations, some challenging times, right? There's so many different ways that he teaches us and reminds us of what we need to remember. Make sense? All right. And number three, the Holy Spirit prays and intercedes for us. Man, I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you guys, right? I probably put God and his angels on overtime sometimes because I just, you know, the way I do things or the way I mess up sometimes. But man, I am thankful that the Holy Spirit intercedes on my behalf, on my family. Romans 8:27, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit, check this word out, intercedes for God's people according to the will of God. If you look up the word intercede, it is to intervene and go between. God sees things I don't see every day. And I am thankful that in my loving relationship with my Heavenly Father, that there's moments the Holy Spirit sees something ahead of me that I don't see, right? And he intercedes for me in those moments. I am so thankful for that. And I want that every single day. And I want that for you. And we need to invite the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives so that he's interceding for us and praying for us when we're weak, praying for those loved ones in our families that we're just praying for and lifting up in prayer. We want that. Amen? Awesome. Well, guys, I'm going to hand it over to Miss Taylor. Have you guys enjoyed Miss Taylor? She is awesome. And she's going to take it over from here.
Thank you, Pastor Stephen. Get myself organized up here. What table won that game? A front table. You guys didn't have to run very far. So that's not really that fair. Pull out my nifty water bottle. How are you guys doing? Talk to me. You're so quiet tonight. Why is everyone so quiet? Who said that? Because you're listening. Well, I absolutely love this teaching, and from personal experience, but I truly believe that this teaching has the ability, and the truths you're learning tonight about the Holy Spirit has the ability to transform your relationship with God. I honestly believe that, because I didn't grow up in church. I didn't really have any knowledge of God until I got saved and started growing in my relationship with the Lord. So when I got saved, I came to know God, and I gave my life to him, and the Holy Spirit came into my heart, as you guys just learned. I got connected in Starting Point, which back then, who remembers when Starting Point was like 15 weeks long? Yes. So I got involved in Starting Point, and I really started to grow. I had such a hunger to know more about God and more about Jesus, and I learned about the Trinity, what we talked about last week, and I learned about what we're talking about here tonight. I learned about the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know he existed, you guys. I couldn't have told you anything about him, but I learned about the Holy Spirit, who he is, and I learned about his activity in my life and what he was doing in my life, and as I learned about him, truth about him, I began to recognize and see where he was at work in me, where he was at work in my life, and that fascinated me, because it's like it came God is a personal God. He's at work in my life, even in the smallest little ways. And I got so excited. I got so excited about my relationship with the Lord. And I just wanted to know more. I couldn't wait. I just wanted to dive in and know everything, and I wanted to grow closer to him. And really, I wanted more of what Pastor Stephen just talked about, is that relationship. That relationship. And I love that scripture from 2 Corinthians. And it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the what of the Holy Spirit? The fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The relationship. So it's my greatest prayer and hope for each one of you in here tonight that you would be able to personally identify, if you haven't already, at least one way that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life right now. Be able to identify that as we cover these points. And not only that, but in that, it would stir that excitement and that hunger to get to know him more and really seek him in that relationship. Because I believe if that is what you desire, God will meet you. He'll meet you there. Sound good? Awesome. Well, let's keep moving here. I believe we're on point number four. And point number four, it says, what does he do in our lives? The Holy Spirit is our comforter, encourager, strength, and advisor. He guides us in the way we will go, the way we should go. That's an important little word. We're going to get to that in just a second. But that's a lot of descriptive words in one sentence. So I'm going to break this down a little bit, and we're going to cover each one of these. So first of all, it says he's our what? Our comforter. Our comforter. I love that. When we're going through times, disappointing times, discouraging times, when we're going through stuff that maybe we don't understand, uncertainty, struggle. I know everyone here, life is hard, right? Things happen. Life is life. And the Holy Spirit will come up beside you, and he will comfort you. He will comfort you better than anyone on the earth, because he knows you better than anyone, and he knows what you need, and he'll give you what you need when you need it. He's our comforter. He's also, what does it say, our encourager, our strength. He's our sustainer. He'll sustain you through the dark times, through the valleys, right? So he's our comforter, our encourager, our strength, and our what? Advisor. That's an interesting word. He's our advisor. He guides us in the way we should go. He's our advisor. We all face times of decision making, right? And I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit will help walk you through whatever you're going through, whatever decision that you're facing, whatever circumstance or situation that you need an answer, or you need a door opened, you need to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, why to do it sometimes. The Holy Spirit will show you and guide you in the way you should go. It doesn't matter what path you're on. If you're on the path that I am hungry after God, I am seeking him with all that I have, guess what? He's going to show you the way that you should go. Or maybe you're on a different path, not really quite sure what you're doing. I know a few years ago, I went through a time when I was a little stagnant in my walk with God, a little stale. Who's been there before? A little dry. I went through some major discouragement and disappointments that left me a little jaded towards God. A little, I loved him. I did. But sometimes when you go through stuff, disappointments especially, discouragement, you tend to get a little jaded. And let me just say about that. In the moments of discouragement and disappointment, the worst thing you could possibly do is not talk to God. That is the absolute worst thing that you could do, and that's what I was doing. I wasn't talking to God about it. And I wasn't spending time with him like I should have been. I wasn't really pursuing him that much. And so I'm kind of walking down this path of, I know I'm not doing what I need to be doing as far as spending time with God and getting his presence, but I was discouraged and I was disappointed. And I remember one day, I met up with a friend and we were just driving in the car, and I didn't intend for the conversation to go this way, but it just kind of popped up, and I began just to open up to her about what was going on and my feelings of bitterness or resentment towards God even, and she kind of helped me navigate through all of that. But I remember leaving that conversation being so blown away and thankful about the Lord's faithfulness and the Holy Spirit's faithfulness in that moment to guide me in the way I should go when I wasn't going the right way. And he'll do the same for you. So if you're on the hot pursuit of Jesus, or maybe you're inching away in a place of discouragement or doubt or disappointment, the Holy Spirit will show up and he will guide you in the way you should go. I don't know what you guys are facing this week or in the season that you're in, what decisions you're making about circumstances or life situations. I don't know if you need clarity or direction. Maybe you have clarity and direction, but you need strength to get through what you're going through. Maybe some of you in here tonight need encouragement or comfort. I want to encourage you to call on the Holy Spirit and ask him to meet you at your place of need, because according to his word, that's a promise that he will provide for you. Yes, Dan. Mm-hmm. When your house is what? A jacket, a blanket. Absolutely. Yeah, that's good, Dan. Absolutely. He's a personal God. He cares about every little thing. And he's there for you in your time of need. So he's our comforter, encourager, strength, and advisor. Number five, he gives us power to be witnesses. He gives us power to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit. You know what really stands out to me about this one is the story of Peter. So Peter was one of Jesus' close disciples, one of the 12. And on the night of the Last Supper, they're all huddled around a table. They're all eating, breaking bread. And Jesus stops and says to all of them, he says, "You're all going to deny me." And Peter stands up. He's like the burly, outspoken one. He stands up and he's like, "No way. You're crazy, Jesus." He's like, "I'm ride or die with you. Like, you're going down, I'm going down too. That's not happening." You know those "Jesus is my homeboy" shirts? Peter was wearing one of them. He was like all about Jesus. And Jesus stops and says, "Peter, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me." And sure enough, what happens? He denies him. He ends up denying him. Jesus is taken, beaten, getting ready to be crucified and hung on the cross. And Peter's standing around kind of at afar watching what's going on. And three times it happens, someone asks him, "Hey, aren't you like with him? Aren't you like one of his followers? Aren't you like really close with this Jesus guy?" And Peter says, "Nah, I don't know him. I don't know him." And so we take that from Mark, and now you move forward a little bit to Acts. Jesus dies, is resurrected, goes into heaven, he tells them to go wait for the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, it says the power of the Holy Spirit came down. And Peter begins basically preaching the gospel, calling people to repent of their sins and turn away and come to Jesus, declare him as the Lord of the life. He says, repent and be water baptized in front of thousands of people. Thousands of people. So the man that over here couldn't proclaim Christ in front of a few is now able to preach the gospel to thousands. How? How did he go from the denial, from being fearful, cowardly, you could say, to being filled, being bold, being on top of it, just preaching it? Thousands of people. And they're sitting here, they're saying, Peter, is this guy drunk right now? Is he drunk? He's like, no. This is what it is, with a confidence, with an authority. How? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit to witness. And I know a lot of people, they get intimidated, you know, about sharing Christ with others, or even some people can even be a little intimidated by inviting other people to church. Get not sure what to say. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to navigate this. And I just want to encourage you guys, if you're ever given the opportunity, one of the best methods to use is just to share your own story. Just share your own story about what God has done in your life. You know, in Revelations, this is in your notes, but Revelations 12:11, it says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. There is power in your story. There's power in what God has done in your heart and in your life. There's power in that. So that might be something, just if the Lord gives you the opportunity to share with somebody, just share them your story. Just tell them your story. So he gives us power to be witnesses. That's number five. Number six, he draws both the unsaved and believers to God. He draws both the unsaved and believers to God. This is so true. I can remember when I was at AC, I was 20 years old. I thought I was all grown up. I was still just a little baby. So I'm at AC doing school. I can remember, you guys. And like I said, I didn't grow up in church. This is before I was saved. Before Christ, Taylor, BC, right? I was sitting in my college algebra class, second row from the front, and I remember texting my friend as I'm sitting there, obviously not listening to the lesson. I remember texting her and saying, I feel so empty on the inside. I feel so empty on the inside. And she texted me back and she said, what's missing? And I remember sitting there with my phone and I said, God, how did I know that God was missing from my life and my heart? That I was empty because I wasn't being fulfilled by the one true one who can only do it? How did I know that? Because I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know God. I didn't know hardly anything about him or the word. It's the Holy Spirit. He was drawing me. It was stirring my heart. Even when I was unsaved, he was drawing me to the Lord. And you know, the thing I love about this is that he doesn't do it just for the unsaved. He still draws me today. He still stirs my heart today to come and spend time with him. I'm going to read a little bit more in the Word, to come worship. There's some nights I can just feel it. I can feel the Holy Spirit drawing me, saying, come, let's hang out for a little bit, just me and you. And so I want to encourage those of you in here tonight that maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a while, but you haven't felt that drawing in a while. And I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to draw your heart again and to stir your heart again, to give you that passion again that you once had for Him. And be warned, if you ask, you will receive. You will. He will. He'll begin to stir your heart and draw your heart. So don't ask unless you mean it, because He's going to do it. So number six, He draws both the unsaved and believers to God. Number seven, I love this one too. I love all these. He equips us with the strength we need to accomplish God's purposes. Let me read that again. He equips us with the strength we need to accomplish God's purposes. And I want to read this scripture because it's kind of interesting. Ephesians 3:16. This was in your Bible reading recently. So those of you that are doing the Bible reading, you will recognize this scripture. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Holy Spirit in your inner being. In your physical being? No. In your what? Your inner being. Your inner being. What is your inner being? Your spirit, your heart, your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions. So this is Paul talking, and he's saying, Lord, strengthen them in their inner being. Transform them from the inside out. Do work on the soil of their heart, the inner being. I want to read this. It's not in your notes, but you can write it down. It's from Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is all the while at work in you, around you, in you. God is more concerned about what's going on in your heart and your inner being than He is your circumstances. He wants to produce the fruit of the Spirit in you. He wants to transform from within you, which is so neat because then He equips us with the strength we need to accomplish His purposes. And a lot of people would say, oh, I don't think I can do that. I'm not a good speaker. I don't feel like I have what it takes to do that, to serve there, to talk to that person, to be the table host. I'm inadequate. I don't have what it takes to accomplish God's purposes. And I love what Bishop, I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes say this in one of his sermons. I loved it. And he said, God wants people who are willing, not able. The Holy Spirit will give you the able. But God wants people who say, your will be done, God. Whatever you want me to do, whoever you want me to become, whatever you want me to change, I'm willing. Because according to this, He equips us with the strength we need to accomplish God's purposes. He will equip you along the way as you follow Him. He'll equip you with what you need. He will strengthen your inner being. You guys tracking along? Yeah, you're so quiet. I don't know what to think when you're being this quiet. Hopefully you're just paying lots of attention. Yes? No? Yes? Good. All right, so that was number seven. He equips us with the strength we need to accomplish God's purposes. Number eight. Ooh. He convicts people of sin pre and post salvation. He convicts people of sin. I have a little story about this. It's kind of funny, but it's really practical and applicable. Last year, I was mentoring a young girl, and she's actually at SAGU now at Bible College and pursuing a ministry degree. But last year, she came through Grow for the very first time, and in the fall, so this is almost a year ago. But she came through Grow, she got saved, and she kind of got connected with me. We hit it off. And so I began, you know, I said, hey, I would love to meet up with you and do a Bible study, get together, mentor you a little bit, disciple you a little bit. And she was all for it. And I think this is like the first or second week she had been saved, and we decided to meet at Standpipe, and we're sitting at Standpipe, and we've got our Bibles pulled out, and I've got my cute, colorful little pins that I brought with me that I love, and some delicious coffee from Standpipe, and we're sitting there and talking, and I was coming up with a Bible reading plan for her, and I could tell she was a little fidgety, but she also has ADHD, so, you know, I was like, well, is it one thing or the other? And she stops me in the middle, and she's like, I just have to tell you something. And I was like, okay. You know, I'm trying to brace myself. I'm thinking, okay, Bible study just turned into confessional session here. What is she about to? She just got saved, you know. What is she about to tell me right now? I'm not really sure. I just need to prepare myself for whatever comes out of her sweet little mouth. And so she's sitting there, and she's like, well, and she was going to SFA at the time. She's like, well, you know, there's a football game on Friday. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, well, like, you know, she's twirling her hair a little bit. And she's like, well, there was a tailgating party. And I said, okay. And she's like, and all my friends wanted to go. And she's like, I didn't really want to go, but they all wanted to go. So I went ahead and I went with them. And I said, okay. And I said, well, did something happen while you were there? And she said, well, we got there, and she said there was lots of people just drinking, and she said some people were smoking, not just cigarettes. And I said, okay. And she said, and some of the girls, they weren't dressed very modestly. And she said, but my skirt was like down to here. And I was dressed really, really modestly. And I said, okay. And she said, And then she said, as people kept drinking and smoking, she said the conversations got kind of crude, and there was a lot of cussing and a lot of, she said, I began, and she points to her somewhere, and she said, I just began to feel not good, not good. I began to feel, and she used the word sick. She's like, sick, but not throw up sick. It was a different sick. I've never felt this way before. And I said, okay. And I said, well, sweetheart. And she said, what is that? What is that feeling, you know? And I said, well, I said, that's the Holy Spirit. And I said, he was speaking to you. And I said, that's how we learn to hear his voice, and we learn to know what he's saying. And I said, he will give you an unsettling feeling, a lack of peace, if you will, when you were in a situation or a circumstance that he's saying, this is not for you. He's not going to give you he's not going to give you his peace for some place you're not supposed to be. Okay? And she was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, we carry on, but I want you guys to know that you follow the peace of the Holy Spirit. You follow the peace of the Holy Spirit. And even in Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule or act as an umpire. What does an umpire do? I used to play softball, so I love this scripture, because I'm like, oh yeah, I know exactly what that means. He's calling the shots. Calling the shots, right? Let the Holy Spirit act as an umpire in your life. And when you don't have that peace, when you don't have that peace about maybe a person you're dating or a job that you're in or a situation or a circumstance you're dealing with, when you don't have that peace, I call it my knower. This is my knower. We're my little spirit man. When you don't have that peace, the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to you about something. He's trying to say, hey, like he did with Sierra, this is not the right environment for you. these people are not conducive for your growth. This is not where I want you. And he was guiding her in the way she should go. He was teaching her and showing her and speaking to her by that feeling, that not having that peace. I do want to say tonight, the Holy Spirit is not a puppet master. We don't live on strings. He's not going to make you. He didn't make Sierra stop going to tailgate parties. He's not going to make you follow that peace. He will guide you in the way you should go. He's faithful, like he was faithful with me, to kind of put up a stop sign and say, Tay, you're not going in the right direction here. The path that you're walking is not a good one. He'll give you that unsettled feeling, but he won't make you follow it. And after a while, if you still choose to go your own way, that feeling will fade. It will go away, because the Holy Spirit's not going to make you obey. He's not going to make you follow. He will let you make your own choices. That's a gift of free will. Does that make sense? You guys good? Give me some thumbs up. Awesome. Okay. So that was number 8. He equips us. Number 8 was convicts people of sin. Number 9 gives us the power over sin and sets us free from the sins we cannot get rid of on our own. Gives us power. In the same way he empowered Peter to preach to the thousands, he gives you power to overcome things. I love, love, love this scripture in Romans 8:11. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. I'm going to read it again. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that gave life back to Jesus, raised his dead body, is living in you. Is living in you. Wrap your mind around that for a second. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Lives in you. What are you facing? What's going on in your life? What has you beat down? What has you feeling like you can't overcome it or defeat it or get around it? Because the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, which means the power to overcome lives in you. Do you believe it? Do you believe that? That comes with authority, confidence. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Where do you need that power tonight? Where do you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? What do you need him to do? What are some things that have died in you? Relationships, hopes, dreams. What are some things that need revived, that need the breath of God to breathe fresh and new in those areas in your life? Because that Spirit is in you. And we serve a God who's good at bringing dead things back to life. Amen to that? Yeah. So number 9 gives us the power. 10, and finally, he molds us into the image of Christ. He molds us into the image of Christ. And molding, I've discovered, is a process. Molding is a process. Like a potter on a wheel with clay. Just kind of spins the wheel and molds the clay. And I actually want to give you guys the definition of mold tonight because I thought it was very suitable. It means to form, shape out of easily manipulated material. So to form or shape something out of easily manipulated material. Are you easily manipulated material in God's hands? I hope so. Do you welcome the hands of God to mold you and to shape you, to add pressure where pressure needs to be added? Or do you resist it? Do you invite the work of the Holy Spirit when he says you need to change that attitude or the way that you talk to that person or respond when things get stressful? Do you welcome the molding of God's hands? Or do you kind of, I know I need to change that, but you don't know them. You don't know what I've been through. God is like the potter. I don't know much about making pottery. Is that what you would call it? Molding clay. I don't really know. Sally's laughing at me. I don't know much about that. I've never really done it before. I've never really looked into it. But if God is the potter, I do know you need two things. I know you need clay, and what else? Water. I know you need clay, and I know you gotta have some water. Who is the clay? We are. So who is the water? Say it louder. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like that water. And when you respond to the Holy Spirit, when you allow him and partner with him in his activity in your life, it's like splashing water on your clay as God is molding it. Water is added. I have to imagine that clay without water must be pretty hard to mold. I'm sure it's possible, but it probably is very hard and takes a long time, much longer than intended. So I want to encourage you guys to save yourselves a lot of wasted time and energy and unnecessary stress and partner with what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Welcome that water so God can mold and shape you into the image of Christ. Can we do that? I have some questions that I want you guys to think about. We have a little bit of time left. Just kind of wherever you're at, you can write these down or write the answers down. But I want you to think about these questions. Where is God trying to mold you right now? In what areas of your life, your heart, maybe your character, and what areas is he trying to mold you into the image of Christ? Where is the Holy Spirit working at in your life right now? Maybe God's trying to mold you into more Christ-like spouse. Maybe God's trying to mold you into more of a Christ-like parent right now. Maybe God's trying to mold an attitude. Maybe God's trying to mold your integrity, your character. Maybe he's trying to mold you into a more honest person. Where is God trying to mold you right now? What's he doing in your life? And the second question is, what may possibly be getting in the way? What may possibly be getting in the way of the molding process? For some of you, it may be unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, possibly even towards God or another person. Maybe the pride of life, materials, things that you just can't, don't want to let it go. And maybe for some of you, something getting in the way could be complacency, stagnant. Like we talked about, not as passionate about the Lord as you once were or know you can be. Maybe some of you tonight, maybe what's getting in the way is discouragement or disappointment. But where is God trying to mold you, and what may possibly be getting in the way? And I wanted you guys to think about those questions because we have a challenge for you this week. We have a challenge for you this week. Are you ready for your challenge? That was really convincing. Are you ready for the challenge? Yeah. There we go. This week's challenge, invite the Holy Spirit to work in and through your life this week. Invite him. Invite him into the situation. Invite him into the circumstance. Invite him to do something new. Invite him. Number two, don't do number one if you're not going to do number two, but here's number two. Allow him to do what he wants and needs to do. So don't go inviting him. Lord, come change me. I surrender. And then when he starts talking to you about responding that way, or being more patient, or showing more kindness, or forgiving that person, don't invite him to do the work, and then when he starts doing the work, say, no, not yet. So if you're going to invite him, make up your mind right now that you're also going to allow him. And number three, cooperate with him and obey him as he leads you to follow him. So he might tell you to do something. He might tell you to go forgive somebody. He might put something on your heart. Obey him when he does, because he's leading you in the way that you should go. Okay? I know we're a little past schedule. I want to pray over you guys, though, tonight, and I want to pray over the things that we talked about before you leave. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, Lord, I just thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you, God, that by your Spirit, you comfort us, you encourage us. Lord, you equip and empower us. And God, I thank you that you also lead and guide us when we need it. Thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, you mold us more and more into the image of Christ. Lord, I pray over every person in this room tonight. God, I pray that they would have the heart to invite you in this week, God, to do something fresh and new, Lord. I pray, Father, that they would also allow you. That's an element of surrender. Father, I pray that they would be surrendered to you completely. God, I pray that the things that hinder the water from being added to the clay, Father, I pray that they would surrender those things and that they would obey and follow you as you guide them. And Father, I just pray that as they do that, as they follow you, Jesus, as they invite you and allow you and obey your voice and what you prompt them to do, God, I pray that you would continue to stir and draw them. That you would continue to stir and draw them closer to you, Jesus, in a relationship with you, Lord. God, I pray that you would breathe fresh and new on those who have known you for years, but things are dead inside. Things that were made to live. God, I pray that you would breathe the breath of God fresh and new, the breath of life on those things, God, that need to come back to life. And Lord, I pray at the sound of my voice, everyone in here would leave with an excitement about what you're doing in their lives, Lord, and the work that you're doing in them and through them. Lord, I pray a blessing over each one of them, Father. May you bless them and keep them. Let your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Turn your face towards them and always, always, always give them your peace, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys. We love you. Bless you. We'll see you next Wednesday.